1340 96.5 KVGC. As promised, Jack Mitchell from the Ledger Dispatch is here. We have Dr. Amy Slavinsky from Amador County Schools with us. Amy, good morning. Thank you for spending the time with us today. So here we go. We're in kind of uncharted territory. Schools are shut down till the 17th. And you guys are jumping on this now and working this week to come up with digital learning, long-distance learning by internet?
We had a great planning meeting, abiding by all social distancing rules and using lots of Lysol wipes with our school administrators, our principals, last week, and did some preliminary planning. And then as a result of that collaboration, we were able to put out a lot of detailed specific information as well as a lot of resources to both our families and our teachers and support staff about what they can be doing in the meantime to access online distance learning through a variety of really great, interesting, engaging websites and other resources that they can access remotely. And our principals are holding virtual meetings, staff meetings this morning with all of their teachers and support staff. We've helped them with that. And so this week, the plan is for our teachers and our principals to work remotely to put their plans in place for launching teacher-led distance learning starting next week.
Amy, how will this work? So let's say my child's in the fifth grade. At 8:30 every morning, will he or she have to sit down in front of their laptop and be there until 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
How will that work? It's not going to be quite like that. We actually are having our teachers and our principals send out suggested daily schedules for use at home so that, for example, you know, they might spend from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock reading and writing, and from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock they might spend some time doing some visual and performing arts or go outside and get some physical activity, and then for another chunk of time work on some math. But those are suggested schedules. They're not going to be hard and fast times. This week, our teachers are working together, again, remotely, to develop their four-week course. Some of them will be using the Google Classroom app. Some of them might be relying on Edgenuity, which is a web-based software system that we've had now for several years, particularly at the high school level. And so depending upon the grade level, depending upon the content, will really determine what that looks like. But, you know, our teachers are so amazing and have such great ideas and such creativity with all the resources and their ability to work with one another. I'm really confident that they're going to put together plans that they'll roll out next week with their students and families.
So, Amy, what happens with the child that doesn't have a computer or internet in their house? Will they have to go to someone else's house? Will they go to a central location? How will this work?
That's a great question, and we're very aware that we have quite a few remote areas of the county where internet access is a challenge. We also know that we have a number of families that may not have computers or laptops or digital devices in their homes. And so one of the very first priorities this morning is that all of our principals are sending out a survey, and if we know that families don't even have email access or internet access, they're going to be calling them personally to find out exactly which students, which families have access issues. And once we know exactly who those folks are, we are exploring things like working with Frank Leshinsky at Volcano Communications to expand technology access. We're also working with Comcast, and we're also learning from other school districts, other counties who are a week or two ahead of us in this process because we were off for spring break, and considering things like putting a Wi-Fi tower in a school bus and driving it up to the remote areas to increase access.
Wow.
We're also working on handing out Chromebook loaners to students and families who may need them. We want to make sure that 100% of our students have access remotely and digitally so that they can continue learning at home.
Jack, do you have any questions?
We had some from different folks that wrote it. So are the teachers themselves deciding which distance learning programs they're using? Is that kind of the way it's going?
No, to a certain degree. You know, we firmly believe in teacher choice and having options, but we also have a state requirement to continue, in order to continue to receive our funding and to continue to be able to pay our people, the state has given us four requirements. And one of those requirements is standards-aligned distance learning. And so we have the large majority, if not all, of our core adopted curriculum materials online. So that's their first go-to. And then we've also given them a list of resources by subject area, by content area, of recommended websites and online learning platforms. So we're asking teachers to you know, stay as close aligned with our California state standards as possible to make sure that our students get what they need and are prepared for the next grade level.
So what about like the ARRI system that has been tracking, so the parents and students track their schoolwork and progress? Does all of this distance learning tie in with the ARRI's program that you guys use?
That's a great question. That's something we'll be working on this week. I don't anticipate any problem with that. ARRI's is a very robust system, and our teachers should still be able to monitor student progress and upload grades and information.
More questions, Jack?
And a lot of these, I'm sure, will be coming. You'll be obviously sending out quite a bit of information as more decisions are made on this. Should parents be seeking alternative lessons through online education, like the Connections Academy, or?
I don't think it's going to be necessary, but if they wanted to, they certainly could. I would also really encourage people to take a look at our website, amadorcoe.org. And if you go to our website, you're going to see on the main page the most up-to-date current information that we're working on regarding distance learning and other aspects related to this. So if you do amadorcoe.org/distance-learning, you will get to a list of great resources right there.
And Dr. Slavinsky, how will the children with IEPs or 504s be accommodated?
That's another one of the requirements that we have actually from the federal government in this case. Our Director of Special Education, Catherine Brown, in working with Dr. Russell with the County Office of Education and our amazing special education teachers and staff, that's one of their main priorities this week, is to look at every individualized education program for our students, our individual students, and working with families and staff, determine if there are any additional steps that we need to take for any particular students. Our students with disabilities generally fall into two broad categories. One are the students with mild to moderate disabilities, and the other are the students with moderate to severe disabilities. It's those students in that second category that we think we may need to do a little bit of extra work to make sure that they are getting everything that they need, but certainly looking at all students.
So the big, big question, is my kid going to get to graduate, or will my child be able to move to the next grade, or are they going to be assessed to know they are ready for the next school year?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm also getting a related question around summer school, and are we going to extend the school year and that sort of thing. Some of that is yet to be determined, but I'm fairly confident that we're not going to have any difficulties in ensuring that our seniors are able to graduate. If they were already on track to graduate, because we have our teachers using either Google Classroom or Edgenuity. Edgenuity is a web-based, standards-aligned program that has every single college prep course on it, and we use it already for credit recovery, and we have the ability to use it for a regular coursework. And so our high school teachers will be choosing between either Google Classroom to set up their courses or Edgenuity. And between those two options, we're confident that our students will be able to continue to make good progress, and our seniors who are on track to graduate will be able to graduate.
More questions, Jack?
No, thank you. Big thing, I really appreciate your time, Dr. Slavinsky. I know you've got a great staff working very hard out there. They're, of course, when things change, it has created, I don't want to say panic, but for some, certainly and certainly families with multiple children, difficulties, and the hope is that we can overcome those together. I know you're working hard on it. There'll be more information coming out.
We really are. It's very concerning. I said to a few people that if I were raising my two kids, Sarah and David, right now in high school, I would be very concerned and a bit frustrated as well.
Yeah.
So I get it, and many of us are parents, and we understand that and are working hard to do everything that we can to help our kids continue to be successful.
Well, especially when you find out your kid knows more than you do.
Exactly.
Some of this math is kind of a little bit
difficult. That only happens. You know more than you. When your kid gets about 19, then they all of a sudden know more than you. But then about 26, then you begin to be
pretty smart. Well, the other difficulty, though, is some of this core mathematics that has changed. I'm still carrying the one. My son's like, what are you doing?
Dr. Slavinsky, a couple of more questions, and we'll let you go here.
Okay.
So this is set up now through the 17th. Are you preparing this to go through the end of the year as well?
We, because of these online platforms and systems that we had already put in place a couple of years ago, in addition to, you know, the new work that we're doing now, and combined with our fabulous teachers and leaders, I believe that we'll be able to manage that. It won't be easy, but I do believe it's doable.
Now, the governor signed an order doing away with, was it the assessment tests, I think, over the weekend, was it?
Yeah. So this at the state level, the state superintendent of public instruction, Tony Thurman, and the California Department of Education, they have been fantastic around suspending requirements, easing requirements, and that is one that they have suspended, the California Assessment for Student Performance and Progress, the statewide summative test that our students take every spring.
Mm-hmm.
That will not be happening this year.
And will we still get our full funding since the children aren't in the seats? Will we still be getting the funding that we normally would?
Yes, they've passed legislation to that effect as long as we meet those four requirements that I was talking about. And one is the standards aligned distance learning. Second is making payroll. Third is feeding our students, which is why we're providing meals, not just because we have to, but we want to. And then the fourth requirement that we're still studying and looking at is around child care and student supervision for first responders or families who may be in a critical situation and need that.
Now, you have released information on the school meals.
Yes, we have. And so just to reiterate that, that's starting today. Families can drive through anytime between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. and pick up a lunch for that day, a breakfast for the next day, so two sacks for each child minor who is in the car when they drive through. They have to be in the car and be a minor under the age of 18. And the schools where this is happening are Amador High School, Argonaut High School, Ione Junior High, Plymouth Elementary, Pine Grove Elementary, and Pioneer Elementary, making sure that we're hitting all the major areas.
If my child goes to Jackson Elementary, I can still get a lunch. I have to go to just Argonaut to pick it up. Is that
yeah, any family can go to any of those.
Any school. Okay, last question.
Yes.
Do you think this will change the education landscape?
I think it has the potential to do that. We in education have been working for, you know, a number of years talking about preparing our students for the 21st century and what does that look like, and much of that is digitally based, also includes a high level of what we call soft skills around communication and collaboration, and I think this has the potential to be kind of life-changing in a number of ways, could create a big shift in how we do education. On the other hand, we know that the human touch, well, the importance and the value of the human touch and relationships is the foundation of everything.
That's exactly what my wife said last night, because I said, you know, this is going to change everything. We're all just going to sit kids in front of computers. And she said, no, we still need that personal interaction.
Yep, I agree 100%. And especially here in Amador County, where we all know and love each other so much.
Yeah, what's your biggest concern with these changes? I mean, is it just kind of the culmination of all these pieces coming together, or is there any things that really stand out for you that are harder to overcome for Amador than other areas? Or
Who was that question for?
That's for you. I just was asking you, is there anything that's been a major concern for you more than the other? I mean, no, there's lots of moving pieces to this. Have there been anything that's heavier than other pieces
that's
of the puzzle?
That's a good question. I think probably my biggest concern is around social-emotional wellness and mental health, in addition to the physical health aspect, obviously. But, you know, we're not used to being at home for extended periods of time. And our families aren't used to having their children at home from 8 to 3 on a regular daily basis. And, you know, nerves can run short and stress comes into play. And if you were already living in a stressful circumstance for one reason or another, this could be a tipping point. And so I'm concerned, you know, about that. And at the same time, very thankful that we have so many partners in the community that we're working with that help us help our families around mental health and social emotional wellness.
Well, Dr. Slavinsky, thank you very much for taking the time to visit us. And again, a lot of this information is on the amadorcoe.org website.
Yes.
And would you please stay in contact with us and let us know how it's going?
We will do that for sure.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.